All right, let's sing a few songs. Does anyone, any of you kids have a song you want to sing? Clay, what do you want to sing? The B-I-B-L-E. That, not sure if that's in here, but someone who has a good singing voice, can you start these hymns for us this morning?
B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the look for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E that Jesus shed for me is my beginning, my soul to say, the B-I-B-L-E.
All right. Who else has one? Yes.
Number 14. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you
just sang is related to what we got up here. What I have up there and what I want to talk to you boys and girls about is related to that song. So there's a hint for you guys if you're wondering what's going on up here. All right, how about one more? We have all boys so far. Are there any girls? Number 46. Okay, I know you boys and girls love saying your verse at conference, but I want to save that to the end if we have time. I want to jump right into the lesson I have for you boys and girls this morning. All right, so this morning I want to talk to you boys and girls about the Lord Jesus. And I want to turn to the Old Testament and talk about the Lord Jesus. Is that strange? Is the Lord Jesus, is his name in the Old Testament at all? Any of you boys and girls know? Is the Lord Jesus, is his name in the Old Testament? No, it's not. It's in the New Testament, right? So, why are we going to go to the Old Testament to learn about the Lord Jesus? Well, there's many, many stories in the Old Testament. And all of these stories that we have there in the Old Testament have something about the Lord Jesus in them. And they can teach us things about the Lord Jesus. And so I want to go all the way back to the book of Exodus. And let's see what we can learn about the Lord Jesus here in the book of Exodus. If some of you boys and girls were listening in gospel last night, there was a reference to this story that I want to read. So let's go to Exodus chapter 11. And I'm just going to read starting from verse 4 of Exodus chapter 11. And Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land will die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." Well, there's two things I want you boys and girls to remember here. We had here in these verses, the Lord told everyone in the land of Egypt that he was going to send a plague on them. And this plague was a terrible plague. And he said that he was going to kill all the firstborn of everyone in the land of Egypt. Does anyone know what it means to be the firstborn? Yes.
To be the oldest in your family.
Yes, to be the oldest in your family. So Clay is the oldest boy in my family, so if I was one of those Egyptians and this plague came on my family, Clay would die. And if you and each one of your families, the oldest one of your siblings would die, if you're the oldest one, you would die. It's a terrible plague, isn't it? Well, God said that he was going to send this plague on the Egyptians. And this plague was judgment on them. Were the Egyptians good guys or bad guys? Does anyone know if they were good guys or bad guys? Yeah, they were bad guys. They were holding the children of Israel captive, and they wouldn't let them go, even though God had told them to let the children of Israel go. So God was sending this plague on them because of their sin. And, you know, it was a terrible plague, but they deserved it because they were sinners. Well, that's the first thing I want you boys and girls to remember, is that God sent this plague on Egypt. But the second thing, he said that none of the Israelites would be harmed by this plague. All the Egyptians would have their firstborn killed, but the Israelites would be unharmed. Not even a dog would bark at them. Well, that's strange, isn't it? Because we just said that the Egyptians were sinners, right? They were sinners, and that's why God was sending this judgment on them, right? Were the Israelites sinners? Yeah, they were sinners. They were God's chosen people, but they were sinners too. So why isn't this plague going to be falling on them? Yes.
Because they're God's chosen people, and they're not the ones that are the Israelites.
Yes, they are God's chosen people, but they're sinners. If God is going to send a plague on the Egyptians because of their sin, it would not be right for him to just ignore the sin of the children of Israel, right? If he's going to judge one people for their sin, it would not be right for him to just ignore the sin of the children of Israel. You know, it's like this. When your parents tell you something, well, I'll give you an example. I have two sons, Clay and Brooks. Okay? If I tell Clay and Brooks, don't run on the road, and then Clay and Brooks both run on the road, and then I catch them doing it, and I say, oh, okay, Clay, I'm going to spank you because you ran on the road. And so then I spank Clay, and then I go to Brooks, and I say, Brooks, you're so cute. I can't spank you. Would that be right? Why wouldn't it be right? Why wouldn't it be right?
Because they both did the same thing. Like, yeah, if you're going to do something to one of them, you should do it to the other one.
Yes, they both did the same thing. If I'm going to spank one, the other one should get the spank too. You know, that's the way God is too. He is righteous. And that means that when he judges one person for their sin, everyone else that has sinned, their sin needs to be judged as well, because God is righteous. But we have a problem here, because God said the children of Israel would not come under this judgment. They would not be harmed by this plague. So it's a strange puzzle, isn't it? How God is going to do that? Well, we're going to move on to the next chapter to see the answer for how God is going to do that. But first, let's talk about you and me. So God has said that everyone in the world, we're all sinners, right? We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, what does that mean for judgment on us? If everyone has sinned, does that mean that everyone deserves judgment for our sins? Does anyone down here know? If everyone is sinners, does that mean everyone deserves judgment for their sins? Yes, it does. Well, that's the fact. Everyone is sinners. Everyone deserves judgment. But God has promised that there are many that are not going to see this judgment. By one man's obedience, many were made sinners. So by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So many are going to be made righteous. Well, how is God going to do this? You see, we're in the same predicament that we were with the plague on the children of Israel, on Egypt. God can't overlook sin. That wouldn't be right. All right, let's move on to the next chapter, Exodus chapter 12. Let's read what the answer is to this problem. You know what? I'm not going to read all the story. I think you boys and girls know it well enough. But in this story, we have the Passover lamb. Do you boys and girls remember that? The Passover lamb? Yeah. What was the Passover lamb? Can anyone tell me? Maybe someone who hasn't answered much yet. Does anyone know, anyone else remember what the Passover lamb was? You know, Clay? What was the Passover lamb?
I just know that you
do a Bible study. Yep. All right, what's the Passover lamb? You had your hand up.
The Lord commanded they had to kill a lamb and then eat it. And then they had to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and then the angel would kill the person.
That's right. So God told the children of Israel, you're to take a lamb and you're to kill it, and then you're to take the blood and put it on the doorpost of your house, and then go inside your house. And when God sees the blood, your firstborn child will not die. So the answer to our predicament we had earlier was the Passover lamb. And we're going to talk about the Passover lamb and learn what we can about the Lord Jesus from that Passover lamb. Because like I said, this story is meant for us to learn about the Lord Jesus. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians that says, Christ our Passover. And that is linking the Lord Jesus with the Passover lamb. That means we can read about the Passover lamb, and it's speaking to us about the Lord Jesus. All right. What is the first thing about the Passover lamb that we notice? Well, first, actually, I have something to show you, boys and girls. What do we got here? Yeah. Can anyone... Which one of you boys and girls can read? What does this say right here?
Goat.
Say it louder.
Goat.
It says goat. You guys want to touch it? You can pass it around and look at it. It says goat. You guys want to look at this one? So these are real goat skins. And this Passover lamb, even though when we hear the word lamb, we think of sheep. It says that the Passover lamb was, it could be taken from the goats or the sheep. So the Passover lamb could have been a goat. And these are real goat skins. So that might have been what it looked like. All right. I hope that's not too distracting for you guys. The next thing we can learn about it, it says the lamb was to be without blemish. You know, I've looked at these goat skins. Can I see one of these goat skins real quick? I've looked at these, and it looks like there are some blemishes here and there. Look, there's a spot. That's a funny-looking spot. This goat skin isn't perfect. Maybe there's something wrong with it. See that spot there? That's a blemish. Yeah. So I don't know what was going on there with its skin, but maybe that happened when they were processing the skin. But the lamb had to be without blemish. Any of you boys and girls know why that lamb had to be without blemish, without any problems? Any other boys and girls? All right, I think I'm going to put these skins up so we can pay attention. All right. Any of you boys and girls know why the lamb had to be without blemish? Remember, the lamb reminds us of the Lord Jesus. Why did the lamb need to be without blemish? Without spot. I think I will answer that because we have the same people answering all the questions. All right. It is because the Lord Jesus was spotless, wasn't he? And by that we mean that the Lord Jesus, he didn't sin ever, right? Did the Lord Jesus ever sin? No, he did not sin ever, not once. And that's why this skin, or that's why the lamb had to be without blemish. All right, the next thing we learn is that the lamb was to be a male of the first year. What's a male? Clay, what's a male?
Male goat?
Yeah, what does it mean to be male? Yes. A man, a boy. It wasn't to be a girl, it was to be a boy. And the Lord Jesus was a boy, right? He wasn't a girl, he was a boy. But it says a male of the first year, so the lamb had to be a young lamb. It wasn't to be an old, scroungy-looking lamb that you were going to probably get rid of anyway. It had to be a young lamb that had lots of strength and was in its prime. What about the Lord Jesus? Does anyone know how old the Lord Jesus was when he died on the cross? Yes. Yes, he was 33. I am 31, I think. Do I look like an old man to you guys?
Yeah.
No. Do I look like a baby?
No.
No. I am 31 years old. I am just about at the prime of my life in my strength. And that's about the same age that the Lord Jesus was when he died on the cross. He was not a young boy. He was not an old man. He was in his prime when he offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. All right, what's the next thing that we can learn about the lamb? Okay, it says that the lamb was chosen on the 10th day of the month. So, chosen on day 10, and then on day 14 it was killed. So that lamb, they picked out the lamb from the sheep or the goats, they picked it out, and then they didn't kill it until the 14th day. So that lamb was just sitting around there, waiting to be killed for a little while. Well, what can we learn about the Lord Jesus from this? Well, the Lord Jesus, you know, he was picked as a lamb. He was picked as the lamb that would be the sacrifice for your sins and for mine. And he was chosen to be that lamb a long time ago. Does anyone know how old the earth is? How old do you think the earth is?
6,000
years old. That's pretty old. You know, I don't know how old the earth is. I don't think anyone really knows for sure how old the earth is. But the earth is older than every man that ever lived on this earth. And you know what the Bible says about when the Lord Jesus was chosen to be the lamb that would, he was chosen to be that one that would be sacrificed for your sins? Let's read that verse in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Foreordained means that he was chosen to be the one that would sacrifice himself for us. And it was chosen way ahead of time, before the foundation of the world. That means before the world even existed. So think about that, boys and girls. Think about how long ago that was when the Lord Jesus and when God the Father and the God the Holy Spirit, when they all decided together that the Lord Jesus would give himself for you and for me. He loved you, boys and girls, from a long time ago. All right. Well, the next thing, from the 10th to the 14th day, that lamb was kept from the 10th to the 14th day. And this is there's some counting you can do, and I'm not going to do it because it's a little confusing. But from the 10th to the 14th day, that covers a span of 4 days. The Lord Jesus, when he was started to preach and teach, does anyone know how long he was preaching and teaching to everyone? How long?
3 years.
It was for 3.5 years. 3.5 years. And so, if his first year started on the 10th day, and from the 10th to 11th would be the first day, 11th to 12th, second day, and so on. And then your last 13th to the 14th would be your last half year. We can see how the 10th to the 14th day reminds us of the Lord Jesus and the time when he was preaching and teaching to everyone for 3.5 years. Does anyone know why the lamb would have been kept for those days? You would pick a lamb without blemish, but then why would you keep it for until the 14th day before you killed it? Maybe the lamb could get sick, right? Maybe you picked a lamb that had a cold, but it looked like it was fine. But then when you keep it for those days, you can wait and see if it really was sick. And if nothing turned up in those few days, then you know your lamb was without blemish. And you know, I think that's the way it was with the Lord Jesus when he was preaching and teaching for 3.5 years. The Lord Jesus was pronounced as the Lamb of God, which would take away the sins of the world, by John the Baptist. And that was right at the very beginning of his 3.5 years of preaching and teaching. And you know what happened? There's a few events that I like to notice at the beginning of those 3.5 years that show that the Lord Jesus not only did not sin, but he could not sin. You boys and girls know what that means? So we said the Lord Jesus could not sin, did not sin. Do any of you boys and girls think the Lord Jesus could have sinned? Do you think it was even possible for him to sin? No, it's not possible for him to sin. You know, you boys and girls can sit up here in the front row and be real good boys. And maybe you don't sin this whole time when you're up here. But I know you could. If you wanted to, you could. But the Lord Jesus, he could never sin. And there's a few events that really show this. One of them is when he is baptized by John the Baptist. You guys remember what happened there? Have any of you boys and girls seen a baptism? Or have you seen a baptism? You haven't? There was a baptism just a week ago or so. So when people are baptized, they're dunked underwater, right? When John was baptizing people, there was Jews that were coming to him, and they were confessing sins because they were sinners. But then along comes the Lord Jesus, and John the Baptist baptizes him. Did the Lord Jesus confess sins like all the other ones? No, he didn't, because he was sinless. But, you know, some people who were looking on could get the wrong idea. They could say, okay, look, all these people are getting baptized. They're confessing sins. They're all sinners. Now here comes the Lord Jesus. He gets baptized. He must be a sinner too. But, you know, God sets the record straight as soon as the Lord Jesus is baptized. Anyone remember what happens? It says the heavens were opened and the Spirit of God came down on him like a dove. And then God says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." No one could be confused by that. The Lord Jesus was sinless and he could never sin, right? There's another event that happened in the wilderness. Any of you boys and girls know what happened in the wilderness to the Lord Jesus? He was in the wilderness for 40 days, and then something happened. Well, he was in the wilderness, and along comes Satan, and he's tempted by Satan. You remember that now? How many times was he tempted? Was it one time? No. Two? No. Three? Yeah, he was tempted three times. And how many times did he give in? And that's right. He gave in zero times. Every time he gave an answer from the Word of God, and he showed that he was sinless. You know, I think if someone could sin, they would have given in to Satan's temptation there. But the Lord Jesus, he couldn't even sin. And so he did not give in to Satan's temptation. Well, those two were at the beginning of his 3.5 years. Now let's think back to the end of the Lord Jesus' life. When was the end of his life? It was the cross, right? That was the end of his life down here. And who was the man that was like a judge for the Lord Jesus? Yes.
Pilate,
yes. He was like a judge for the Lord Jesus. Wicked men brought the Lord Jesus to Pilate, and Pilate judged him. How many times did Pilate say that the Lord Jesus was guilty? How many?
Zero.
How many times did he say that he found no fault in the Lord Jesus? How many?
Three.
Three times. Three times Pilate, who had every reason, he wanted so badly to find a reason to condemn the Lord Jesus. He wanted so badly to find something wrong with the Lord Jesus. But three times he says, "I find in him no fault." So the Lord Jesus, you know, he was perfectly spotless and without blemish, sinless from day one all the way to the end of his life. All right, what's the next thing we can learn about the Lamb? So after they choose the lamb and keep it, they were to kill it. And if they followed on with the blood, then that lamb would in effect have died instead of their firstborn. But the lamb was to be killed, and then the lamb was to be roast with fire. You weren't even allowed to boil it. You had to just roast it over the fire. So what can we learn about the Lord Jesus from this? Well, you know, fire can sometimes represent to us God's holiness, right? God is totally pure and without sin. Do you remember when Moses met the Lord? Did he meet the Lord in a palm tree? Did he meet the Lord in a pine tree? What did he meet the Lord in? What?
On Mount Sinai.
I'm thinking of a type of plant. What?
A burning bush.
A burning bush. He met the Lord in a burning bush. The bush was on fire. And then the angel told Moses that the ground that he was on holy ground. So fire can speak to us of the Lord's holiness. And when God's holiness meets sin, what happens? You get judgment on sin. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he died on the cross during the 3 hours of darkness, he took all of God's judgment against sin. And it was like fiery judgment that came down on him. And he took it all. And it wasn't watered down any little bit. All of that judgment came down on him. Do any of you boys and girls know how much the Lord Jesus suffered there on the cross? You know, before he was put on the cross, he was beaten and punched and spit on, and his beard was plucked. And he was scourged, whipped, and then they took his hands and they pounded nails through them, through his hands. And then they pounded nails through his feet. Does that sound like it would hurt? That would hurt so bad, more than anything I've ever felt. And then he was hung up on the cross, and I'm sure hanging there was excruciating pain as well. You know, that word excruciating comes from the word crucify in Latin. I believe it's in Latin. They invented that word for crucifixion. But, you know, all of that pain was nothing compared to when the sun went dark. You know, the sun was up in the middle of the sky that day when the Lord Jesus was crucified. And then it went dark for 3 hours. Do you boys and girls know how much the Lord Jesus suffered during those 3 hours? I don't know how much the Lord Jesus suffered. I think it's really hard to understand how much he suffered there. But it was terrible suffering. There are some places we can look at in the Old Testament that remind us, or that show us how much the Lord Jesus was suffering. In Lamentations it says, from above he has sent fire into my bones. I think it was maybe physical pain as well as pain in his soul, spiritual pain somehow. But it was terrible suffering. And it was so bad, no one was allowed to look at the Lord Jesus during that time. That's why God made the sun go dark. All right. So the lamb was roasted with fire, just like the Lord Jesus faced God's judgment for our sin. Well, that's all I want to talk about the lamb. But is that it? Is that where the story ends? No. You know, if one of those Israelites were to kill the lamb and then just go in their house, and then that night the destroying angel came around, what would happen to them when it got to their house? Does anyone know what would happen?
Their son would still die because they needed to put the blood on the doorpost.
That's right. Their son would still die. It's not good enough that the lamb was killed, but they needed to put the blood on the doorposts. All right, guys. Here's what we got here. What does this look like? A door. Yeah. And what are these? Doorposts. That's right. And any of you want to put blood on the doorposts? We are running out of time quickly. So, all right, we'll just do a couple people. Maybe we'll start with a girl. A girl. Elena, you want to put blood on the door? Just put it up there on here. Step over this so we don't get. Oh, yuck. Yeah. All right, good job. All right, you can drop it back in there. All right, how about a boy? Ori. Maybe do it on one of the side posts. Like maybe down there on the side. Yeah. Good job. All right. Put it back in the bucket. All right, how about a girl? All right, you can go. Yeah. Good job. All right, we'll do one more boy. Yes, you want to do it? Here, come on up here. All right. All right, thank you. All right, that's good enough for now, because we're running out of time. Well, there we have blood on the doorposts. So they put the blood on the doorposts, and then they go inside these doors, and they're safe. You know, God said, when I see the blood, then he will pass over. When you sin, is it just disobedience to your parents? Is that why it's bad to sin? If I tell Clay and Brooks not to run on the road and then they run on the road, why was that wrong for them to run on the road? Why?
Because you told them not to.
Because I told them not to, that's right. But you know, there's an even more important reason why that was wrong. It was wrong because God tells children to obey their parents. And so when they run on the road, they're sinning against God, right? I hope you boys and girls understand that. When you sin, it's not just disobedience to your parents. It doesn't just cause harm to others and yourself, but God is offended by that sin. When you sin, it's against him. That's why God said, when I see the blood, he's looking for the blood, because your sins are an offense against him. Well, the blood was an act of faith, as we heard last night in gospel meeting, right? You know, if you kill the lamb, drain the blood in a bucket, and then walk in the house, it shows that you really didn't believe God. You really didn't believe God that he was sending an angel to come around and kill all the firstborn. But if you were to take that blood and put it on the doorpost, it shows, yes, I believe God that judgment is coming. And so I am going to put that blood on the doorpost so me and my family are safe. Well, each of you boys and girls, you know, we don't just need to believe in God. We don't just need to believe that there is a God. We don't need to just believe that the Lord Jesus existed, that he died on the cross. But each of you boys and girls need to believe that the Lord Jesus died and shed his blood for you, for your sins. Okay? That's very important. And if you do that, that's like putting blood on. All right, we're almost out of time here. Was that a difficult thing to kill a lamb, put the blood on the door? Was it difficult? No, it was easy. You know, I got these goat skins when I was in Texas this past week on a work trip. And the store had all sorts of animal skins. Had big old cow skins, bison skins, any sort of skin you can imagine. And they were really expensive. Thousands of dollars, some of them. But, you know, these goat skins were cheap. They were really cheap. And I think it's because goats are really common. They're not big animals. They're common, easy to get. So, you know, that Passover, killing that, using one of your Passover lambs and killing it, that was not something hard to do. And it was, if you didn't have a goat, you could go to your neighbor's house and you could share their Passover lamb. And that's just like believing on the Lord Jesus. You know, it's not something that's difficult or hard to do. It is so easy and it doesn't cost you anything. All you need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we are almost out of time, and I want you guys to say your verse. We're going to have to do it all together. But before we say the verse, what did we learn today about the Passover lamb? The Passover lamb was God's way of sparing the Israelites from judgment, right? Even though they were sinners just like the Egyptians. The Lord Jesus is God's way of saving you and me from judgment, even though we're sinners just like the whole world. All right? And then there's many things we talked about the Lord Jesus. All right, the verse, I think, is in Mark. Yeah, it says Mark 16:15. Does that sound right? All right. I'm going to turn there and read it, and then we're going to all say it together. Mark 16:15. It says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Okay, I don't know how to say this all together at once, but maybe it'll take a couple times to say it. But I'll start, and I want all you boys and girls to say it with me, okay? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Hey, good job. All right, boys and girls, I have a little, some candy up here. It looks like blood, doesn't it? Yeah. You can have some after we're done praying, okay? You can come up and get some, and I'll take this out of the way so we don't make a mess.